from Australia? Yes, it's from Australia. The Shaolin Afronauts with Amhara. This is from their 2012 album, their second album, Quest Under Capricorn. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And what a day to talk with each other with all the hubbub going on across the globe and right here at home. President Donald Trump is spending 2 days, today and tomorrow, in Israel, seeking to broker peace talks between the Israeli and Palestinian governments. It's his second stop on a wide-ranging 9-day tour of the Middle East and European countries as well, of strategic value to the United States and between and among the countries themselves, regarding such matters as trade, security, terrorism, and cooperation. But the tour is also a sales call, a grand sales call, with Trump as lead salesman. Saudi Arabia, Trump's first stop, committed to $450 billion over 10 years in weapons purchases, investments, and partnership in a range of projects. Trump's maiden voyage abroad as U.S. president is occurring at a time, as you know, that members of Congress want to end his presidency and are working feverishly at it. Several investigations with him and close associates are ongoing and have escalated even to the point of threats of impeachment. So, juxtaposing these totally different scenarios, what picture are we getting? What is it that we're supposed to understand from these two entirely different scenarios? Here's a guy who is a subject, he and several of his inner circle, and including members that he had appointed to various positions in his administration, are under the gun. And it seems as though he says, well, you do your thing and I'll do mine. The main thing here is to score bigly and get a lot of money and bring it back home. And that, I think, is his thinking. That would put his critics and naysayers on edge because he has brought home the bacon, so to speak. And what are they going to say now? What are they going to do? Maybe he has something up his sleeve. We don't know. But what do you think is going on here? What I'd like us to talk about in this way is to really become very analytical. What is this trip about? Why is it happening now? What does Trump know that we don't know? And is he likely, the minute he gets back home, to face either praise or a barrage of criticism and an even more frenzied pace at which the investigation is going on? Your thoughts at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. All right. We know what the media are saying. Many of them are, he did. You've got to give it to him yesterday. That was a humongous outpouring of welcome and respect by the Saudi government. It was just majestic. And I listened to his speech. I have some issues with that. But I'm talking about the environment of what is happening now. It is symbolic that he chose Saudi Arabia because I imagine part of the message there was to indicate an entirely different attitude by the Saudi government toward Trump than the attitude toward Obama. Obama did not get nearly the outpouring of affection that the Saudi government showered on Trump. It was really incredible to see. It also was incredible to see how unaccustomed the Trump entourage seemed to be for this kind of reaction. It's something greatly desired, of course, but I don't think that they were prepared for that kind of reaction, with people being so deliberate in showing them a very, very warm welcome. That was extraordinary. Well, you know, in Israel, they don't make a big fuss about anything, and so that's the kind of welcome they got. They got a perfunctory welcome. But I'm interested in what you observed. If you even caught a couple of minutes of the whole thing, at any part of the elaborate reception, if you listened at all to anything, any part of the speech of Donald Trump while he was there, the main speech he gave. But how do you analyze this? What do you expect to come out of this? And what was significant about this welcome that he got and the ensuing business deals, quote unquote, that was struck? We start with Jim from New York City. You're on the air.
Hi, Chief. Hi. How you doing?
Okay. What are your thoughts?
I just thought it was a lot of pomp and circumstance, the welcoming and all of that. It's okay. But although I have to laugh, though, if you look at the tape, there was one guy who was sound asleep while Trump was giving his speech. And all the rest were just like, to me, twiddling their thumbs. And he got polite applause toward the end. But I think it's a lot of fluff. Basically, he's been there for the defense industry. I mean, as you said, bringing home the bacon. Yep. I mean, the jobs that he talked about for the coal miners and people in Ohio, Wisconsin, what industries, what defense industries are there?
It was a big, big, big kiss to Lockheed Martin. That's for one thing. So he did make that sale, if you will. But I don't expect that occurred there. That was, already agreed to beforehand. And they used it to make a big statement at the time of his visit. But that kind of money being committed with a large share of it, $110 billion, to be dispensed immediately. Now, how are you reading this? If I were to assign you to cover this event, what would your interpretation be?
Well, again, I submit to you that it's just a big gift to the defense contractors. And also, I did hear something, I'm not sure if it's on this program, that actually they have surrogate nations that also build for the defense industry in other countries.
Yes.
Japan, Italy, wherever, So, I don't see it as a big boom for the, average Joe, if you will. It isn't. It stinks. I can't put it any other way. I'm not impressed.
If you're getting any money out of it or not. Let's talk about just for a short minute, let's talk about the significance of the welcome. Did you find anything significant about it? Other than, of course, a big effort was made to, to accommodate the both the president and the the kudos that are to be accorded to Saudi Arabia for receiving him with such incredible, just unbelievable amounts of respect. Some people may say it went overboard, but maybe that is intended. But what is underneath all of that?
I just think it's a way to cater to his shallow ego. I like the, they gave him a medallion of some kind. He just, you know, the bright, shiny object, you know, and ooh. And I think he likes to be, you
and
know,
it was gold,
on the back,
you know.
And he likes praise. He likes adulation. They're doing what it is. They want to keep him happy for the time he's there. So, I've watched several ceremonies over the years, generations, but this one did seem a bit interesting in that, you know, they had them, they had like a ceremonial dance or something. And it looked
kind of silly. The dance of the swords. But here's the thing. Immediately they indicated the Saudi government and several other representatives of governments who were there. They were invited there. They had a kind of mini summit. That was very significant. The media kind of missed that. This was not just Saudi Arabia. This was a convocation of countries that are allied with Saudi Arabia as well. Many of them African nations. But the resplendent nature of the reception was in stark contrast with the way the Saudi government had received Barack Obama when he went there. And I think this is significant, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. The Obama administration had, you know, it was very, very tense between the Saudis and the Barack, you know, the Obama administration. And what was interesting is that Trump spoke, you know, out against their, you know, enemy, Iran, and that made them happy. And when he was campaigning, he did speak out a lot out against Iran about the nuclear deal that they got and all this money and stuff. I don't think they take him very seriously personally. I just think they did that to just, you know.
Well, actually, I was going to kind of follow up your observation with an observation of who walked away from this deal in a more advantageous position. Did Trump go there to get the business from them, or did they get the business from him?
Oh, clearly they were the winners, the Saudis. I mean, let me rephrase that. No, the defense industry, again, they're going to do fabulous. They're going to do well. They're going to have ships, planes, weapons, and for a small country, why, you know, $350 billion, I think they committed for 10 years. That's unheard of. The Saudis are committing, war crimes in Yemen, and yet, you know, on the one hand, the U.S. is against Assad, you know, quote unquote, killing his people, but yet the Saudis are slaughtering people by the thousands.
Well, and it was also interesting that Trump suddenly developed a kind of amnesia, because he was one of the people saying that the Saudis were responsible for 9/11. And look how nicely they all got along.
Well, money makes us all good friends, I guess.
I don't have any, so I guess I have to live with the fact that I won't have too many friends.
Yeah,
thank you, sir, for calling and for getting us started today.
It's all fluff. The money that, and also, too, it's interesting because I believe that, you know, he hopes that this will deflect his problems here at home.
Of course.
Apparently, it's full steam ahead. You know, there's some that want to impeach him. There's a lot of investigations pending, or ongoing for that matter. So he's got a lot of problems. I don't see it going well for him. I don't see it going well for him at all. But, you know, the people that are in control are making lots of money. Lots of money.
That is incredible. I thought also it was interesting that Trump appeared to be a little bit more humbled, a little bit more tame in his dealings. Normally, you would expect him to come in, you know, with all high-handed and superior, you know, but he was measured. He didn't show any disdain, open disdain, for the people in that part of the world. And he seemed, well, of course, a whole lot of money is on the table here. So I guess he said, let me just play the part and thank them for doling out this amount of money to us. And he adopted a very unusual attitude of modesty and, respect, actual respect. He did his best to show some. So I thought it was interesting that in the situation that he's in, with all the stuff going on back home, he had to deliver something. And of course, I think this was already known. They had already come to terms, and this was just a formalization of it. But this was a good way of poking his finger at his enemies, saying, one, look, you can't get this kind of reception. You don't have the guts to engage Saudi Arabia directly. He did draw into the visit and his speeches some concerns about, quote, terrorism, Islamist terrorism, he's called it. And these are things that Barack Obama did not do. And the people in his administration just did not really engage directly with Saudi Arabia. So this overwhelming show of respect was meant to poke a finger in the eye. And hopefully, I think the deal was the Saudis are hoping that this bails him out. But let me ask you, if it does work out that way, then how is Donald Trump going to repay this humongous favor?
Well, the first part of the question was, that he gave a speech. He was on point. And I think maybe they gave him his meds so he could calm down and follow the script. I was just waiting for him to just make a mistake or say something off the cuff. But he read the script, you know, verbatim. I mean, okay, I'll give him that. But, you know, it was like, you know, we were waiting to see what would happen. You know, he followed the script fine.
Yeah, he did that.
The Saudis, you know, they really want status quo. They want to keep things, you know, they're going to do what they want to do. And they want the Trump administration to look the other way. Hey, look, we're going to give you lots of money. Don't meddle in our affairs. In other words, Utrice, I think it's business as usual. I mean, I don't, you know, think that. I think the fact that this wonderful, humongous contract that the U.S. has gotten from the Saudis, you know, they're very happy now. And so even though that's a country where they behead people and women can't drive and they attack gays and, you know, all kinds of horrific things, but that's the country where ISIS originated from. A lot of money goes to those quote-unquote terrorists. I mean, the hypocrisy of it all, if you think about it. He's in a country where they are funding a lot of these, you know, deviant groups out there in the Middle East. I mean, on the one hand, he's telling them to, you know, let's pool our resources together, let's fight together. You know, what was his phrase? Stop them, get them off this earth or something like that.
Yes,
and it's like he's talking to the the murderers and thieves amongst them.
The thing is, they all know that. They all know that there is so much hypocrisy going on, but they're this for a particular reason. And now what we have to do is to think, what could the reason be that suddenly Trump sees a need to go, apart from the money, because he's going to be going all over the place. So in that sense, this is not exceptional. What is exceptional is that he's starting there. That's very, very significant. He's starting in the crucible of the three major religions in that area. He's starting with a government that hasn't been particularly friendly to the United States, and vice versa. But they all understand that there is much more to gain by cooperating with each other than by maintaining the status quo. I think it's going to develop into a big story. It is a big story now, but I mean a big story in terms of what is underneath all of this niceness. What is underneath all that sword dancing and Trump looking and feeling really good about what he's done? And we'll find there's so many components here. So many components. Thanks, Jim, for getting us started today. Enjoyed talking with you. Marie from Baltimore, what do you think?
Good. I'll make this very brief, Latrish. I think of it as a meeting of the terrorist meeting for whatever reasons. And the Trump's wife and daughter, where they were dressed inappropriately.
Very much so, I think.
Yes, they did not respect their culture over there by putting a covering over their heads. And
supposedly, in an effort to indicate that Saudi Arabia is coming into the fullness of its own identity, it's allowing and relaxing a lot of rules. And one of them is that while Saudi women are still encouraged to cover their heads, visiting women have the option of doing so.
Oh, they don't have to cover their heads?
No.
Oh, I see. But I think it would have been nice if they did.
I think so, too.
I've gone to a Muslim church in D.C., and I was asked to cover my head.
Yeah, well,
even
that
before
is
I
mandatory,
sit down.
Even if you are visiting. It is mandatory, even as a visiting dignitary, if you are going to a place of a holy place or a place of prayer, you are required to cover your head as a woman.
And I think of this thing as a terrorist meeting, and Trump not being concerned about our climate, melting icebergs and selling military equipment, you know, heat and cold. I tell you, this is
But you know, the sale, he's not departing at all from the norm in this regard of putting a lot of stress on weapons sales, because that has been an established thing. Mm-hmm. The U.S., that's why they call it the military industrial complex. The industry is creating weapons of mass destruction, weapons of all types for all people who need them. That has been a significant part of the U.S. economy.
Yes, and that's where Trump is telling people that they'll have jobs, but they won't have jobs. This is going to the high rollers of the world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Selling the military equipment and so forth. And someone in the Midwest, I want to tell you this, too. I gave out your phone numbers in reference to Megar Evers.
Oh, great.
He, in Baltimore, and I also gave out those numbers to a group in the Midwest. So I've hit the East and the Midwest with those phone numbers. And the person...
That's great. The students would certainly appreciate it, and we're trying to support them in the stand that they're taking. So that's very, very good news to hear.
And I understand that, and I'll make this end this up. Another college, was it Notre Dame, where the students
yes.
didn't want to listen to our vice president.
Right. They turned their backs to him and walked out.
Mm-hmm. So the person in Midwest said to me 2 weeks ago, we're in for a hot summer here in the United States and maybe worldwide. Thank you so much, dear.
Thank you, Marie, for calling in and contributing to the discussion. You know, you in a situation like this, it's a grand move. I mean, 9 days visiting country after country. Donald Trump is not a young man. He's 70 years old. This can take a lot out of him, especially at this time when he needs to pay attention to all of the legal moves that are being made stateside to basically send him packing. But there's something that is at play here. It's not evident, but it is also about Trump playing a different kind of card. Now, as a businessman, because he has properties all over the world, hotels and so forth, I imagine traveling to these countries is not a big deal. But now he's a president, and he's using that office in a very special way. I don't know how many more things we're going to know coming out of this trip, but I can tell you there's a lot going on here that doesn't yet meet the eye. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. Good afternoon. I was listening to you, and I'm at Panera, but I actually had to chime in. First, I wanted to give you the good news that Ralph Pointer, Lynn Stewart's husband, and Betty Davis have also had online petition going for Medgar Evers, and they have a group forming up here. So
great.
There's more help on the way for that. The second
great.
Thing is I just wanted to chime in and say I am terrified because when I looked at this arms deal yesterday, I wondered – how many world groups are getting together to turn into dictatorships against all people, all free people in the world? I'm sorry, it just looks so crazy. Like everybody's going down the dictator road, and now these people have so many weapons, and who are they going to fire on? It just seems like a global effort to try to hem in all of our freedoms.
Well, you don't trust Donald Trump's explanation that this is necessary to beat back the radical Islamists who are trying to take over the world.
I don't trust Cheeto Man. No, I don't think the Orange Man knows. I shouldn't trust a bag of Cheetos, okay? So, no, I don't actually trust him. As far as the terrorism is concerned, I am aware that
You don't trust your honest and sincere president?
I would not even crunch on him. So, no, I don't trust him. I'm sorry.
Well, that's a good thing.
We go down that well for a long time, but I don't trust him.
As you look at the situation and the countries that he is going to be visiting and so forth, mm-hmm. what is emerging in your head as the grand plan? Is it as simple as, well, it is what it is, exactly what you see is exactly what it is? Or is there something else going on behind the scenes, underneath all of this peacemaking and loving each other and selling bullets mm-hmm. and bombs?
Right. I think there's much, much more at stake here, and I think it's much bigger than we have ever experienced in our life. And I think the people, I've heard this, the oligarchs of the world, the 400 mega oligarchs, really want more now. They want to dominate the entire world, all populations. And so I believe that this is the beginning of that consolidation, and I believe it's going to be much different from anything else we've seen. And I also, it breaks my heart that we're talking about this as American jobs, because this is where we are in this country, that, you know, little towns like where I'm from in Pennsylvania, Willow Grove, are going to depend on these kind of jobs, these jobs that make machines to kill other people. That's how a middle-class family has to make their living today. And so it puts everybody in a really weird position. But I think that Mr. Trump is not so bright. He's mafia boy. Yes, he is mafia boy, and he understands the mafia language of the world. But, and I also wanted to say, he looked really comfortable with those Arabic leaders. He looked like he loved having women, you know, on the other side of the room. He looked like he loved carrying that sword around. And I think he wishes our country was more like that, if these women would just shut up and go away. So I thought he was really happy in a male-dominated setting where women just had to keep their mouth shut. He looked very happy there. But I just think that for us, that we better start looking at a bigger global picture and the consolidations of power. Turkey is gonna go through this. Then we have, you know, Saudi Arabia with a huge cachet of new weapons. And what else is going to happen? I see countries like Venezuela that are probably going to go in a different direction now. They look like they're leaning to the right. So it seems like the people on the right, I should say the oligarchs, I think they're looking to make their move. And I think they feel with Trump at the helm, they're going to be able to do that. So it's just a very scary place to be. It's just, to tell you the truth, geez, I really didn't need this in my life. You know, can't they do this? Can't they do this 50 years from now? Like, I just wanted to have a little peace now in my life.
This is the thing. We're trying to mind our own business and trying to get through life, you know, the best way we can.
Right, you know?
And we have no control over this level of tyranny, actually. We have no control over what the big guys decide to do. Whatever they decide, it's understood that we have to go along with it. But not really.
Right.
We should make our voices heard. But Trump is about to receive the wake up call of his life when he gets back. And,
well, that is good, except that Joe Lieberman is taking over as FBI, head of the FBI, and I just don't think that Joe Lieberman is going to pursue this. I really think he's going to give him that easy card. There's a reason why he's getting in there.
What is it with them that they just keep going from one disastrous decision to another?
Right.
Joe,
why are we calling now this guy?
The FBI, really?
Yeah. I mean, he's a very bad pick in my opinion, and I think he's gonna do the old soft shoe on this thing.
Now, did you happen to catch the deal with Ivanka Trump?
Yes, I did see that. All women of the world just be bowing down to good old Ivanka, helping
Ivanka
us out over
Trump.
There.
Gets away with a donation mm-hmm. of $100 million.
Right.
To start a fund, you know, anytime mm-hmm. I hear the word fund, you know where my brain goes.
Start running.
Yes, she's starting a fund. And right there, on day two in Saudi Arabia, she scores $100 million. Now, the question, what question do you have about that?
Is it legal?
Ah, that's the question. Is it legal?
No, it's not.
You know,
it's not.
And these things, I mean, this level of corruption, this level of nepotism and whatnot going on in our face.
Right.
There's no shame anymore about these things.
No.
You go, and you accompany the president as his, what? She has no title really except as an advisor. She's mm-hmm. not there in any official capacity except that she's hanging out with dad, because you know the secret there, I figured out quite a while ago, is that she is his babysitter. She keeps him steady. That's why she moved, literally, physically moved into the White House, so that he doesn't feel abandoned, that there's somebody there to kind of hold his hand. You know, that's her job.
Right.
But she has
right.
no official role. And yet she is basically acting like she too is president.
Right. And it's
away with $100 million in 2 days. This is fascinating.
That is what somebody said to me after church yesterday. It is fascinating, like a soap opera. But I mean, it's terrifying at the same time, and it's terrifying to see him giving weapons to this society of people. And I just think it's a lot of. I mean, you know, they're going to go after Iran. They're going to try to. You know what's going to happen here. They're going to try to get rid of that agreement and bomb them. And it's just the whole thing is really scary.
Agree. The United States, Trump absolutely agrees that Iran is the problem.
Yeah, except for they're not doing anything.
Military advisors, General Masters,
right.
They're just
mm-hmm.
itching for a war. And the
yes.
sights are set on Iran. Iran is the
right.
problem.
Right. I mean, it's so terrifying to watch this. And, you know, they better just hold on to their hat because they do have that nuclear capacity. And I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but, I mean, I just don't even want to watch what's going to happen next. It's so terrifying. And the lack of any kind of respect for human life, you know, on our side, they're just another dollar bill in our pocket. Who the hell cares what happens? They don't even care about our own people. You know, the fact that, you know, my nephew went over to Desert Storm and he came back and, you know, they gave him every vaccine in the world and then they couldn't get pregnant. These two healthy young kids couldn't get pregnant. And it just seemed very strange to me. And this kid never questioned anything, but he was exposed to so much crap, you know, the blowback mm-hmm. from the depleted uranium. And, you know, people don't question it. My own brother, how could he send his kid into that mess and be okay with that? I don't understand it. You should protect your children. You shouldn't send them into stuff like that, unnecessary wars. So, you know, it's hard on both sides. And I don't know what's going to happen when he tries to get this big war going, because America's been sitting pretty for a long time without a draft. But if you start doing this kind of stuff, you're going to need a draft. So,
but look at it this way. That is the part two of the big effort to going to war. It boosts the economy. So they have the first part covered, which is the manufacturing of more weapons.
Now
we have the right amount of weapons that we need, let's have a nice little war.
It won't be little. It's going to be
absolutely
a war,
won't be little. But the idea is that this, if you look back at U.S. history, whenever America goes down economically, when the conditions are like the conditions that we're experiencing now, the most logical answer
is always a war. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
thank you, Gwen, before I go. I don't think we're that far down. So I just want to say, I mean, economically, I don't think we're that far down. So I just think they're really, I don't know. This is what they want. And I will let you go and listen to the other listeners. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Enjoyed your contribution. 888-874-4888. Things happen. They look on the face of it. It looks perfectly fine. You know, he's just trying to do the right thing, trying to drum up some money because the economy is tanking. People are unemployed and they're angry, which is the main thing. And he has lost much of his protection. He has lost much of his protection. But here's the really big issue. The big issue is there's a consolidation of interests who are working hand over fist to take him down and even to take him out. We have the deep state. We have the demonic Democrats who are implementing their own little plan. You have part of the Republican Party that is dissatisfied with how Trump is conducting himself. And you have the bureaucrats. You have the military. You have all these different sectors with their own particular interests working hard to destroy Trump, take him down, and possibly even take him out. And it's becoming more and more clear that you look for signs, and one of the signs you're looking at in this trip is that he's shoring up. He kind of has an attitude and an idea about what is happening in the United States. He is broadening the net of concern by approaching all these foreign countries. It looks like he's talking trade. It looks like he's talking about military sales and so forth. But he's also trying to get additional backup. That's my theory. He's also looking to get additional backup so that he could say, if anything goes wrong, there are people who will assist friends of mine coming behind me. That's an idea. Hello, Dave. You're on the air from Brooklyn.
Oh, it's nice to hear you again.
Thank you. You too.
You doing well?
I'm hanging in, yeah.
Okay, good. My views are going to be out of left field for everybody. We all know a war's imminent, the big one. But people should stop fearing. And if you know how to meditate, well, if you don't, find somebody to teach you.
How do you interpret this 9-day tour that Trump is making, and what he says are the objectives of this tour?
There's more chaos. Do you hear that in the background?
No.
My phone hears some other radio station in the background. It just stopped.
No. I'm not hearing that.
Because I'm discombobulated as it is. I don't need...
Well, join the rest of us, Dave. We're discombobulated. We discombobulated together. So we'll work it out.
There's forces going on that are beyond people's scope that I don't want to sound like a complete raving madman. And the cabal is responsible... And this has been going on for thousands of years. I told you a couple of years ago that they're holding our consciousness back. That's why we think this reality is real. But war is real. And they want chaos. They want to thin the herd, of course, through profiting. Because they're slowly killing us with poisoned food, for one thing.
But, Dave, you're kind of swaying from the topic.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I haven't spoken to you in a long time.
I know. But I was concerned about what you might be feeling about this current situation with Trump doing a heck of a tour.
Well, first thing with Saudi Arabia, he doesn't care about Yemen, that's for sure, because they're going to be using weapons against Yemen. And they probably want to get into it with Iran and Israel and completely destabilize the whole Middle East, which is pretty much destabilized now. They want to complete the job. And Trump's all for that, and so is the cabal, and that's who's running him. He's being controlled. Just like all the presidents, if you remember the 8 years of Obama, he had been controlled.
No question about that.
The National Defense Authorization Act is unconstitutional law, and he's a constitutional lawyer. So right there, a red flag should have been held up. And that was in response to Occupied Wall Street. So we're going to have a nice fascist, completely controlled police state, and the drones are going to be in the sky, and there's going to be many ones, and we're all going to be tagged. It's unbelievable what's going on.
Well, you seem to have a pretty good handle on it. And I thank you for calling and contributing today, Dave. Good to hear from you.
People definitely pray for you, Trish.
Thank you. I get lifted up every day by your good thoughts and prayers. Thank you so much. From Wisconsin, Habu, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Miss Miss Lead. Tongue twisted, whether to be formal or informal. But anyway,
it's very
and I hope
informal.
You're
it's
well.
Your trees, you a Habu, and that's the story.
Yes. Well, in any case, let me just give you just a couple of bullet points in the interest of brevity about what I take from this this staged tour. One, we don't know when this was all arranged. I don't know how far ahead, and certainly even 2 weeks ago, Trump could not have foreseen the hype media accounts of his, you know, his doings, and whether with the Russian diplomats or with his FBI people. So this could not have been foreseen that far ahead, and certainly Trump could not have foreseen this. So we don't know when this was arranged. In any case, he's gone, and the whole world can see what all is going on there. The second point is, well, isn't it, it's almost comic to see the tough guy Trump, you know, curtsy before a two-bit Saudi dictator, isn't it?
Well, it's more than a two-bit.
Yeah, he has money, but, you know, these people can't do squat. They have to get Americans to do their dirty work, you know.
No, but that's the that's genius. The genius
yeah, yeah,
is they
of
get everything
is.
They want without having to send their sons and daughters into war, without having to take on the dirty work themselves. They're doing just fine. Their model is working brilliantly.
And it's not even their model. Of course, it's their model. It's not even their money. It's the people's money that they're being that's being used now to underwrite American industry, you know, to the tune of $500 billion or so, you know, over 10 years. So in any case, the other point is, you know, I don't know that I necessarily agree with you that, you know, wars follow very bad economies. And I don't even know that they're good for the economy. Right now, so many things that the United States uses in its armaments come from parts made in China, you know, computer chips, et cetera, et cetera. These are very high tech. It isn't something that envelops the whole economy, meaning the war effort. And also, it's very immoral to take the handout or mana from wars for the economy. It's not something that should move our economy. Just good things like building up the infrastructure is what should move us, not something like this. So anyway, I won't quibble on that, but just three quick points left. No doubt Trump talked to the Saudis about the Syria situation. You know, the ISIS people that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia support have diminished. And recently, of course, the U.S. is running interference against the Syrian Arab army. They bombed some Syrian soldiers. So this thing, no doubt they're kind of finalizing what to do now as the situation has changed. And of course, you know, Trump would demonize Iran. He is there to sell arms under the false notion that both know that Iran is the enemy. You know, so of course he would demonize Iran. And the last thing is, Trump and Washington would be foolish to take on Iran. Iran is a juggernaut of that region, and it is also standing at the gateway to the oil wells there at the Strait of Hormuz. So Trump, but America has been foolish all along. So history will repeat itself, but it will mean that the house of cards will come down even sooner. So that's all I have to say, unless you have a question.
Yes, I do. In all of this, do you see any possibility that we might be misreading Trump's motives?
Listen, there are so many versions here. And really, you know, getting it right, so what? So we got it right. You know, those people are going to, just like Henry Ford, you know, you can have a black car, you can have any color car you want as long as it's black. So it doesn't really matter what we think in the end.
Well, I asked a question because it is attached to a grave situation that exists within the borders of the United States and concerning Trump himself. As I said, I mean, I'm dead serious about it. I think there are plans afoot to get rid of him. I mean, not just to put him out of office, but to have him killed. I think in the middle of all the craziness of Donald Trump, he has done something that was not expected, and that was to open up a hornet's nest about the way the United States runs. And that phrase about the, you know, the swamp, it has enveloped just about all of Washington. There is tremendous corruption, tremendous waste of taxpayer dollars. And he has begun, among whites especially, his base has come to embarrass the upper class, and they are challenging the upper class. Unfortunately, I don't know whether Trump can hold out and resist any of that, because he's also part of it. He's also part of this. This is the seriousness that I think that this whole thing shows us is that there is a move to get to have an assassination of Trump. And I think part of his response is just going over wherever he can to seal some deals in terms of support against what is in play. He knows it. He knows it. He has certainly taken a while to find it out, but this is what is brewing in the United States. The domestic aspect of it is terrifying. It's terrifying. And it's getting more and more so. This murder of this young man in Washington, D.C., he's not the first person to be murdered. You see? So the nature of government has gone down so far that we don't even know what we have. We know this is not a democracy. We don't know what it is, but it is certainly, it's going closer and closer to the border of tyranny of its citizens. Trump, with all of the craziness, and I believe it is craziness, but he has stirred up a hornet's nest. And there are forces that are very, very displeased about that. And for his own protection, I think, this tour was organized to get him out of the country into another space for at least a little while. And in that space and time that he's away from the country, he's able to demonstrate that even though he's been in office for such a short time, he has gathered significant support and respect. Now, this is how I'm thinking this might be going, but most definitely he's in the danger zone. No question about it. Not in my mind. Thanks a lot for calling in. And that brings us to the end of our program today. I guess we'll look at it some more tomorrow, and we'll see some aspects that we might have overlooked, but are actually glaringly telling us that there's a problem. Trump is in big trouble. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. And as always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. We see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.